Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2021. That's right. We are back. We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, which was really fun. I'm Tommy. That's Jamie. Sitting over there for the time being. I'm looking at you on the screen right now, but in just a few days, we're going to be sitting in the same room together, talking all things gaming for the next week, which is awesome.
I am very much looking forward to it. And something that I have not talked to you about is that I have not picked up a game in the last month. And I didn't do it on purpose. It's just kind of the way it happened. But I'm really excited to get into this because I haven't picked up a game in about a month and I am jonesing. So I'm glad it's that time of year. We're going to make up for it in the next week.
Yes. We obviously have tons of gaming stuff to cover, so just really quickly, this episode one, we'll jump into that in just a second. Jeff Keighley kicked off kind of E3 festivities. Wasn't technically E3, but basically. With his Summer Game Fest kickoff, big announcements there. We'll talk about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about what the rest of E3 looks like, what the schedule is, some of the expectations we have, all that kind of stuff. But before we jump into all that, I'll mention, I, as of last night, have Final Fantasy VII Intergrade and Ratchet and Clank loaded up and ready to go on the PlayStation 5. So
you spent some money, sir.
Yes. to be fair, Patreon spent some money. Big shout out to Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you for giving us stuff to play during our fun E3 time together.
Yes, that is that's a good thing. I like it. We will have more stuff to play than we have time, which is interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. Yeah, if this kickoff thing that Jeff did told me one thing, it's that there's more games out there than we can play.
Yeah.
So
that is the absolute truth. It is nuts how much software exists, and so much of it is going to be good, and we'll never get to it, which is a bummer. but we're going to get to what we can get to, and we're going to talk about the rest of it because it'll be fun. So real quick, before we jump into it, I just want to mention a couple of things. We'll be on video for the bulk of this stuff, so go buy Patreon. You can go to GamingUncensored.com and click the patron link there. We are both donning fun new things that you should get to see. Jamie has some fancy new glasses. Look at that, man.
Now, do you get the reference here? I went a little.
I don't know what you're going for. I'm curious.
I went with the linens because I thought
that would have been my guess. Yeah. So they're nice round sunglasses with the red tint, which is nice fun. Which immediately makes me think John Lennon. You know that I'm a Beatles nerd, and so that's where my head went. So,
that's exactly why I got those, because I knew you would see those. Cool. And we will surprise folks when you get here. But I bought not only one pair, but two pairs. And nice. So before we get off the video this week, I don't know how, why, or when, but I think I've got a pair here for Tommy to wear, and that should be interesting.
For about 2 seconds, because I can't see with them.
Yeah.
I can have my glasses on, but that'll be good. So yeah. That's good. And I'm donning a new baseball cap here, trucker hat here, that is a Triforce.
So I got
some
like
good
it.
Gaming I representation like going on. I bought a couple of random gaming related T-shirts as well. So it's going to be all gaming apparel for our E3 this year. I figure if we're going to be on video, we got to look the part, right?
And I just want to make people aware we are aware that the video has sucked for the last couple of weeks. We are working on that. Mine sucks right now. I'm looking at it and it's awful. Yep. I know we're aware, we're not sure what to do, But you're coming, and we're going to work some of that stuff out. So
yep. And the video while we're there should be great, because we won't be dealing with internet and all that
yes
crazy stuff. So. The benefits of sitting in a room together. So yeah. All that said, should we dive into to E3? Really? I mean, again, practically it's E3. It's not technically E3 yet, but it is.
It is, and that's a crazy thing, because we're it's basically Friday the week before E3, and we're already talking about games, and that's awesome. That's really cool.
It's super fun. So it kicked off with, like we said, Jeff Keighley, the Summer of Gaming Game Fest kickoff thing, whatever he's calling it. We talked about before, Jeff Keighley just doing all the things.
Man, that guy, applause, because that guy is working his tail off.
I
don't think we really understood until we started doing video content here how hard he was working. This is hard. It's not an easy thing to do. And he's doing a ton of work. So big ups to that guy.
High production value and with really, really great people. Obviously, his connections both in the game industry and in the entertainment industry run very, very deep. So lots of cameos, random performance by Weezer. It's just I dig Weezer. We grew up in the 90s, and so Weezer is something that is very nostalgic to me as well. Still weird to see Weezer like performing at a game conference in 2021.
And it was like one of those things I watched about 2 minutes of it. And it was like they were like, why are we here again?
Yeah. Like,
I'm not sure what we're doing. Why are we here? So yeah.
We won't go in order necessarily. I'm gonna jump around a little bit because that just kind of talking about some of the kind of guest appearances. It's interesting. Obviously, we're at the point where gaming has crossed over with TV and film that it's the same people. You're seeing a lot of the same actors in both worlds. And so, for instance, Jeff interviewed Giancarlo Esposito, who obviously is Gus from Breaking Bad, is in The Mandalorian. But is also the main antagonist in this new Far Cry game, the Gus Fring character that he embodies so well. Like, he was trying to talk about how these characters are so different. It's like, yeah, but no, you know,
like, not really.
They're all like some derivative of Gus Fring, and that's perfectly okay because Gus Fring is one of the best characters ever on television. But to see, you know, Giancarlo Esposito sitting there talking to Jeff Keighley about starring in a, you know, Ubisoft video game. It's just a very good encapsulation of where the industry is right now. Like, this is big deal, big Hollywood, big entertainment value, like, blow the doors off everything.
And let's be honest. I mean, these guys aren't making movies right now, or they weren't. I think things are kicking back into gear.
Sure.
TV sort of the same thing. But games was something that I think you could do a voiceover from a game anywhere if you have the sound set up to do it. And so I think a lot of those people have been working even through COVID. And I think we're going to see the fruits of that this year.
Yeah. I would imagine lots more famous people showing up, not as like, I'm a famous person who plays video games, which there was a little bit of that too. Like, Ryan Reynolds was in it, and he's starring in this new movie that he's an NPC, which I think is a really clever idea. I'm really interested to see if that movie's
like,
any good.
It's like live action Lego movie is what I got out of it. That's exactly what it is. It's a live action Lego movie.
It's to me, it's reminiscent. We talked at the last show about this crazy Grand Theft Auto roleplay culture It's like a movie that's like that. Like, it's the NPC from Grand Theft Auto that's just like a dude, and then suddenly he's the star of a video. Whatever. That's cool. Jeff Goldblum was there because there's a new Jurassic World Evolution game, and so Jeff Goldblum obviously being the ambassador for all things Jurassic Park at this point. Got to talk about that. And so just seeing, you know, people that are familiar, talking to Jeff Keighley about video games, it's kind of fun, right? Like, am I like just like being goofy and saying like I enjoy seeing Jeff Goldblum and his weirdness because he's just a weird but like a weird, really fascinating dude.
Yeah,
like I like that. I just thought it was fun.
He is. He's very weird, very odd. He was very much Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum. And they lean into that, and it's cool. And what people don't realize about you is you're a Jurassic Park geek, so...
I do enjoy Jurassic Park.
That's something else. When I saw that, I immediately thought of you. Like, yeah, he'll be thinking that up. I really don't care, but he'll be thinking that up. Yeah.
That's very, very true. And then we also got the appearances by game industry people, obviously, and there's no surprise there. But maybe, I don't know, to me, the one I wasn't necessarily expecting that I geeked out about was Kojima showing up very early to talk about the PlayStation 5 director's cut of Death Stranding,
which
we haven't played it yet.
I
think that's where we're going to end up playing it.
So glad that we waited. Now that we got the director's cut, that's very cool. So glad that we managed to stall on that, because I think it's going to be the best version of the game by far. And very interestingly, and I want to talk about this for a minute, and of course I struggle reading captions, and so I didn't get all of what he was saying, but I got the idea that he's in a very interesting mood, being Kojima, basically saying, hey, we've had a tough year, and I needed to reboot my mind and remember that this stuff is entertainment and it's supposed to be fun. And so I'm very interested to see what kind of stuff that he comes up with, because to me it was similar to when we saw Breath of the Wild come out from Nintendo, and when he stepped out and said, here's what I want to do, and everybody's looking around going, what? Like, it's a cartoon. It's not, like, I got that same vibe from Kojima. Like, that he's just in a mood to lighten it up and have fun. To be honest, that scares the crap out of me, because he's a weird dude. Like, I don't know what his version of fun is. But am I the only one that feels that way? I got that impression from what he was saying. Like, this last year sucked.
Yeah, because he was kind of saying, you know, like, his job has always been to try to plan out like 5 or 10 or 20 years in the future, that he was trying to be, you know, kind of keeping within the realm of reality with things like Metal Gear and all that, while trying to predict where the future is. And he was like, and then all of a sudden, like, things just sucked, you know, like all of a sudden we were living dystopia.
Yeah.
And we were like, the reality of Death Stranding in a lot of ways was here or whatever, you know. A couple of things I've noted people have picked up on. I didn't pick up on these personally, but the kind of conspiracy theory side of Twitterverse and everything else, is that at the beginning of the little teaser for Death Stranding, there's a cardboard box segment.
Yes, it very much
looks Metal Gear-ish at the beginning of that teaser for the director's cut of Death Stranding, which made a lot of people think that he's also hinting at a remake or a remaster of Metal Gear, which has been a rumor for quite a while now, and something that a lot of people are kind of maybe thinking pops up at E3, and we'll see. Maybe it still does. And then he also said something about more details about the Death Stranding director's cut coming soon, we obviously know Sony's not doing a press conference at E3, and Death Stranding is a Sony exclusive at this point. And so wondering, you know, if that was alluding to a Sony event that's just around the corner, and see if we're going to also see Sony pop up here within the next few days or weeks.
Look, what I got from that is that dude realizes where his bread is buttered. Like, he can make games for the rest of his life, and they'll never be Metal Gear. Like, it's that whole remake kind of a thing. Like, you gotta do what made your name, whether you want to or not. And that's what I got out of that segment, is whether it's a Metal Gear remake or a new Metal Gear, he's saying, I got to go back to Metal Gear, because that's what people want. So
it's definitely what I want. Like, I want to play Death Stranding. I think people that have played it apparently really, really enjoy it. It has its issues, but whatever. But it definitely, like, obviously we haven't played it yet. If he had put out a new Metal Gear, we would have played it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. No doubt about it. And so, yeah. And honestly, I would totally dig a remake a la Final Fantasy VII of the original Metal Gear, where they add content, where they really flesh stuff out a lot more, just more depth to the story. Not change the story necessarily, though. The way that Final Fantasy VII Remake took the weird big twist at the end is totally like Kojima world to do something nutso like that. And so I could totally see a Metal Gear Solid remake that's like alternate universe and something different happens than happened in the original. But that game, the original Metal Gear Solid, holds such a special place to me as games I loved growing up. I would totally be on the nostalgia train to do that again.
It would be a lot of fun, but two things you gotta have. You gotta rehire David Hayter.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You gotta have that. You can't fake that.
No.
And two, I feel like you have to give us, because this will be the third re-release of Metal Gear, if that's what they actually do. I think it'll be the third re-release of the original game. I love Metal Gear. I'll play it again, but if you really want me to be geeked about it, it's like you're saying, you got to give me something that we haven't seen before, which he can do. Yes. And as long as he does that, I'm cool with it. Like, because I played the original three times. It's the only game that I can remember in recent history that I beat three times. Then we played Twin Snakes. Like, yeah. If I'm going to go, it's one of those games that I know backwards and forwards, every lineup, I know where everything is. Like, it's one of those games. So if I'm going to go back to it, it's got to be really special. And I think it can do that. Yeah.
I think so, too. And we'll see again if it pops up in any capacity. There's a lot of questions about that too, between Kojima and Konami and Sony, and where things land and the legalities of I don't know all the answers to that, so I don't know what's actually possible and what's not, but it would be fun to see. We'll leave it at that for now. So trying to think of other big people that showed up. There's just tons of people that showed up to it. You had people in person, which is nice just to see, you know, kind of feeling like we're getting past the COVID stuff, where like people just aren't locked in their houses anymore. Where last year, all the kind of press, we didn't have E3, obviously, but the game releases, news, all that stuff was people in their bedrooms, that kind of stuff. And we say this from two bedrooms right now.
Yeah.
it is nice to see people interacting with each other in person. That's a nice change from the way things have been for the past year and a half.
Well, I think whether everything's better or not, whether it's about the vaccine or what it is, people are just tired. You know, like they're ready to get out, they're ready to go back to work, and it's good to see. Like, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what we get coming out of this, because I know that your job has changed, the way that you do your job. I know lots of other people's jobs have changed. I think video games in general may improve out of this, whether we're talking about the different shows like E3 or the Tokyo Game Shows. I think those might get better, and I think production might get better because of all that we've been through. So,
yeah. I think all that's true. I hope so. And it'll be fun to see what the rest of this looks like. So, yeah. Other announcements. I'll just try to hit a couple things. So there was obviously talk to Giancarlo Esposito about Far Cry 6. There was actually a big kind of details, video, trailer, all that kind of stuff that came out from Far Cry 6, from Ubisoft about Far Cry 6 about a week ago or so. And so there's already a lot of information out there that you can go find that looks very Far Cry. They're not doing anything radically different with the formula, doesn't seem. It looks a lot more urban. That's going to be probably the biggest change of the feel of this Far Cry versus the past several iterations that have been more kind of rural jungle or mountain or whatever. This is going to have a lot more urban stuff to it. Not completely, but... And some interesting weapons. There's like a CD launcher as a weapon in the game.
Yeah!
Which is fun. I'm excited to see kind of what they do with that. They had a bunch of big titles that aren't necessarily our thing. So Overwatch 2, they talked about a little bit, showed off some new character looks and gameplay
stuff. I skipped that because I did not care.
I know, and that's so sad to say about a Blizzard game. Monster Hunter Stories 2, which is coming in. Monster Hunter is a big, big deal. This Monster Hunter on the Switch, Monster Hunter Rise, I think is the name of it, right? Yep. Whatever that is.
That's right.
Is massive and apparently just a brilliant game or whatever. That's one of those franchises that I'm like, that and Persona, I think, are the two franchises that are like so outside of my understanding that I've never touched. But people love so dearly that if I had the time to like pick up something new, one of those would probably be what I'd want to pick up. So they're doing that. Call of Duty stuff. Again, not necessarily our thing. The Evil Dead game. They showed that off. Some had Bruce Campbell do the voiceover of all the stuff as Ash, which was cool, which was a lot of fun. Anytime you can get Bruce Campbell involved, I'm a fan.
Anytime that guy's voice shows up, my immediate thought is, great, he's still alive.
Right?
like, it's just like, every time I hear his voice, I'm like, great, he made it another year. Because if anybody's ever going to get his brain sucked out by zombies or get stuck in an apocalyptic world, it'll be that guy. So
yes, for sure. 100%. There were some announcements about Among Us, a new map, a new mode, some new skins, I think, all kinds of stuff there. Same thing with... what's that? Fall Guys, that they're doing a Nier Automata skin for that, which is an interesting crossover. Not games that I see as being necessarily connected, but whatever. There's a Stranger Things and Smite collaboration
that's
happening.
Weird. Weird.
I don't know if I love it or I don't know. I've never played Smite, and so if I knew Smite, I might be more excited about it.
So
I love Stranger Things, and so
I
might have to try it.
Can I be honest? I got two nieces that love Stranger Things. There's so much crap to watch. I've never gotten around to it.
The first season is a must. You got to see it at some point because it's just so nostalgic and amazing with this heavy D&D influence, and it's great. But the second and third seasons are good. They're not nearly what the first season was. The first season is one of those, like, one of the greatest things that's come out on television in the past 10 years, 5 years, whatever it's been.
Speaking of D&D, I was really excited when they brought out a D&D game, and I watched about 30 seconds of it and realized who was playing it and went, I don't care. Because we will never have time unless one of us wins the lottery or comes up with some money or something. But we both are D&D geeks that haven't played D&D in a very, very, very long time. But we it would be so much fun for us to have a regular, like, Saturday night D&D game with four or five other guys. That's something that if we come up with $1 zillion, that would be something that we start. And I really want a game like this to work. And it looks kind of fun, but just like every other D&D, whatever you're dealing with, it's about who you're playing with more than the game. So
for sure. And honestly, the only D&D video game I really care about is Baldur's Gate, right? Yeah. Like, everything else is kind of, there's nothing about it that's super exciting. They had some WWE wrestler, I guess, that was one of the people playing it, or whatever, which was cool. And, you know, again, these kind of cameo things, and a couple other people, I didn't know who they were, but apparently are famous people in some capacity, which is all well and good. But the software matters a lot, too, and it's just not software I really care about. Would love to, and maybe it'll be good, and then we can care about it, but right now it's just kind of whatever. I'm trying to think if there's anything else big before we get to the last kind of big announcement. 2 Point Campus, so the guys that did 2 Point Hospital are making a new sim game that's a college campus, which to me just sounds like a blast because that's my world.
Yeah, I saw that.
I love 2 Point Hospital. I think it's a fantastic game, that the humor there, and now bring it into the world that I work in on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, I'm all about that.
I saw that and immediately thought of you. I'm like, he'll work that into a class somewhere.
For sure. There's a new Tales game coming, which that's a world that I haven't touched it in a long time. But there was, Tales of Destiny? Is that the one? I don't remember. One of the Tales games we played a ton of in college, that you could play co-op in like the battles. It was JRPG, but with some co-op element to it, and that was a blast. And so the Tales franchise has always had kind of this soft spot in my heart, but I haven't touched it in nearly 20 years. And so glad there's a new one coming. There's new ones coming all the time. I do miss a good JRPG, but I'm probably never going to get to it.
Mm-hmm. Time and more time.
One other of the kind of announcements I'll mention just really briefly here, just because it also is very personal to me. There's a game called Planet of Lana coming,
which
just on the surface looks cool. It's this kind of, I don't even know really what it is. Exploration, adventure, whatever.
So, but
the sexy sidekick's name is Lana, and so I automatically dig it.
Well, we totally both geeked out because it has your wife's name in it. I don't know why. She's not my wife, but I saw that, and I went, that's really cool. And the thing that's going to get us is that it's really pretty. It is
really pretty.
It's hand-drawn. It's very much an Ori kind of a thing. Although Ori was not hand-drawn, but it's a very similar kind of a deal.
Similar aesthetic, yeah.
That will get us. That's the one out of all of this, that's the one that stood out. And I'm like, we got to talk about this because that's really pretty.
It is really pretty. I don't know what the gameplay is. That's, you know, obviously we didn't know what you do in this game, but it's pretty and it has that personal thing. I told the sexy sidekick about it and she couldn't care less. I was like, whatever. I think it's cool. So there you go. And then I think two announcements. Let me mention. So we'll mention the maybe not as big one. Gearbox is going to be big for a lot of people. Is bringing a new, not Borderlands game, kind of Borderlands spinoff game, but not Borderlands. It's called Wonderlands, and so it's already confusing in that it's not
Tiny
Borderlands, but it's kind of Borderlands.
Wonderland.
Tina's Wonderland, and Tiny Tina is an NPC from Borderlands world, but it's like high fantasy looter shooter with a cast that includes Will Arnett, who I love. Andy Samberg, who I also really enjoy, Wanda Sykes, and then Ashley Burch, who did the voice for Tiny Tina, and who actually was there to talk about it a little bit, talk about the game or whatever.
On the list...
Pretty crazy voice cast for that title.
On the list of people that you're glad to know they're still alive, Wanda Sykes is on that list. she's totally nuts. Like, totally insane. So, yeah, that will be entertaining.
Yes.
And going back to what we were talking about with the famous people in these games, because these people are in these games, whether it's Wanda Sykes or Bruce Campbell or Ryan Reynolds, like, we'll play the Ryan Reynolds game just because it's Ryan Reynolds and that dude's funny. So it's a very interesting way to go about things, but that's going to get people to play these games.
Yeah. And I know Will Arnett's in, I'm pretty sure it's in the Borderlands movie, and so there's going to be a lot of tie-in there. I'm not sure if Andy Samberg won the Sykes. They may both be in the Borderlands movie, too. Whatever. The Borderlands movie is a thing that's happening alongside more Borderlands stuff. Gearbox is doing a conference maybe tomorrow. I don't remember if it's tomorrow or Sunday. And so we'll see more if there's other Borderlands stuff that's coming. Another franchise I just need to spend more time with. That's very, very beloved and stuff. So that was the beginning announcement. That was the thing he led off the show with. And then the thing he ended the show with was Elden Ring, which is maybe one of the most anticipated games of E3. Like the hype around that when it was announced a couple of years ago, whatever it was nuts. And it just was this little teaser. But it's From Software. It's Souls World. And it has this George R. R. Martin connection. And so just a lot going on with that game that's going to get a lot of people very, very excited. We got at the end of the Game Fest kickoff a pretty good trailer, like a 3-minute long trailer that shows a lot of the aesthetic, the design. It's very much a From Software game, and so it looks like what you would expect there. Not big on details yet, but you can kind of, I think, guess what the game's going to play like. And then a release date, which is January 21st of 2022, which
wow.
is not yeah. far away, less than a year. And so Elden Ring here in less than a year at this point, which is pretty wild. That's a big get for Jeff Keighley. That was a pretty huge deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And talking about what all the work that he's doing and all the stuff that he has going on, he, just to recap, we had Netflix in the show. Like, he's doing a thing with Netflix today that's actually streaming on Netflix. Prime sponsored the show. Amazon Prime Gaming sponsored the show. And because of that tie-in, I think Prime Gaming is going to become a bigger deal. Amazon had... their own, one of their titles in the showcase. And so they're really pushing hard, trying to figure out how to get into the gaming space. It's very interesting the way that he did things, because the tie-ins that he had and the sponsors that he had are the services that we use every day. And yeah. and it was very interesting to me that all of this is coming together in a way that, like, let's face it, these services would not have worked together in any other facet of anything. And then here comes Jeff Keighley. So it's very interesting to me. It's very cool.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. One last just kind of bow on Elden Ring. Bandai Namco is doing an event on Tuesday, and Bandai Namco is the publisher for Elden Ring. And so there's a good chance we'll see more of it before the week's up, which is also exciting. And so I'm this is obviously the Souls world is something that we have not delved into a ton. I've got Demon Souls on the PlayStation 5. We need to go back and play more of that. It got bumped for Spider-Man. And Spider-Man is an experience I was always going to enjoy more, I think. But we owe it to the world to get into this a little bit. Bloodborne is a huge deal. Sekiro, is that right?
Yes.
was Game of the Year, big deal across the board of things. And so this is just a world of gaming that we need to do more of. Elden Ring may be the one of these that like goes, okay, yeah. Between From Software, who's so well-respected and established, and George R. R. Martin being involved. Again, I don't know exactly what level he's doing here, but he's part of the concept behind this whole thing. It's just a no-brainer. Like, it's one that we got to spend some time with.
He's part of the concept behind the whole thing, but I kind of think he might just be cashing the checks.
I think so, too. That's been my sense, because they didn't mention him at all, I don't think. I didn't see, like, his name pop up. I might have missed it, but...
I sent you a link for a thing that I've been listening to, a podcast. I don't listen to podcasts, but I started listening to the Hotboxing with Mike Tyson podcast, which is vastly entertaining. And one of the things that made me laugh about that was I listened to the episode with Michael Buffer, and they started talking about the Dreamcast game, Ready to Rumble with Michael Buffer, and they were all geeked out about it, and they were asking Michael Buffer about it, and he's like, I don't know, I just took the checks, like, I have no clue. And I think that might be where we are with George R. R. Martin. I don't know that he necessarily has a clue what's going on with this at this point.
But I think that's spot on. Whatever. Finish a book, man. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
So all that said, let's talk about the rest of E3, or E3 for real, what's coming, because again, this wasn't actually E3. So press conferences in earnest begin tomorrow, the first like real E3 press conference with Ubisoft. Now, a note for everybody listening, following along with the E4 coverage. We're going to start out a little bit behind. So tomorrow is travel day. Sunday, I'll be getting to your place. So we'll be catching up on Ubisoft and Microsoft and Gearbox, some of these early ones that are going to be happening. We'll have a busy day Sunday afternoon getting caught up on some of that stuff. So if you're following along with E4 and don't see any updates from us with these first couple of things, that's why. We'll be catching up. But then we'll have a lot of time that we'll be doing all the rest of the stuff pretty well in real time. So be watching Twitter, Facebook, the feed, all that kind of stuff to see when stuff is popping up. We'll be doing video content, all kinds of stuff. We'll give you more details as we get rolling on that. So all that out of the way. Ubisoft starts tomorrow. What we can expect from Ubisoft, I think we know what's coming from Ubisoft for the most part. We'll see if there's any surprises. I think Far Cry 6 is going to be a big focus, but they did just put out a lot of info on that, and so I don't know. I'm sure we'll watch gameplay. They'll do their kind of, you know, here's a base capture in Far Cry 6 or whatever, and maybe have Giancarlo Esposito part of that as well, and on and on. Assassin's Creed Valhalla will have a presence. I'm sure they'll talk about DLC. I think I would be surprised if we get new Assassin's Creed. Maybe a teaser of whatever's coming next, but we're not going to see anything significant.
Can I be honest? I don't want new Assassin's Creed.
I really want to play Valhalla. It's apparently great, but it's huge. That's like 60, 70-hour game, huge. And I don't have time for that. Give me smaller Assassin's Creed, well, honestly.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, they just put that out. And we haven't played it yet, but they just put it out. I don't want to see an Assassin's Creed. Concentrate on Far Cry. Give me some Gus Fring. And I'll be happy. If you try to give me Assassin's Creed, I'm going to be a little upset. I would like very much to see some Beyond Good and Evil from them, but who knows
if
that's going to happen. So
I think there's two big games that I would be fairly surprised if we see much of Beyond Good and Evil, man. Like, that one just hurts because it's obviously one we were so pumped about. It showed up in this kind of big way and then disappeared for a while. And then they came back and had this, you know, like, gameplay thing that at the time sounded super cool, but now is dated. And like, it reminds me so much of Cyberpunk in my head.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, Cyberpunk has made us all very afraid.
Yes.
And I don't know. That's part of the reason why I'm a little sketchy on this E3 in general, because I love the CD Projekt guys, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, but Cyberpunk, no matter what they do from this point on, was a massive disappointment. And because of what we have just come out of with COVID and everything else, it doesn't matter what we see this year, I don't really expect any of it to be good. And it's just that Cyberpunk thing that like, we wanted it to be good, and it's good, but it's not epic. Like, and yeah. This is something that I want to talk to you more about when we get to my house and after we've had a fair amount of alcohol, because I really want that big game to come out of E3, and I don't know what the big game is. I'm jonesing for that RPG that Cyberpunk was supposed to be and is, but it's so broken that it didn't fit that bill. And
yep.
I want it so bad, but I'm terrified of what we're going to get out of that. I've never been scared before. But I'm at the point where I don't trust anything we see at all.
I that's not unfair in any way. I completely hear you there. I think I'm actually a little bit the opposite, though. I'm actually, and we haven't got to what I think is going to be exciting yet. We'll get into where I think we'll get maybe some of those titles here in just a second. All of which have huge potential to be Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk definitely did something that is going to make me a lot more cautious. If we see more Beyond Good and Evil, which I think there's a chance, I don't think it's a high chance, but I think there's a chance, it will be through the lens of Cyberpunk, especially just aesthetically. Like, those are kind of like Beyond Good and Evil isn't Cyberpunk per se,
no,
but it has a Cyberpunk kind of flavor to it, right? This futuristic space kind of Cyberpunk thing. I don't know. So it just the tone of the game, everything about it has a little bit of a Cyberpunk feel to me. And so, yeah, it just is a little more raw there. The other one is it Skull and Bones? Is that what it's called, the pirate game?
Right, yeah.
That we saw from Ubisoft a few years back that then just disappeared. I don't know if we see anything of that, but that one's super interesting too, and I would love to see more of it. Those are the two ones that we know exist and both seem to be in like this development limbo that I don't know that we get. We will get The Division because they're doing the new thing there. We will get Rainbow Six, and those things are fine. But those aren't the things that you're talking about that I really want to see that are going to get me really excited.
You brought it up on the Facebook page, and it doesn't have anything to do with Ubi. I think those two, there's two games that could make us feel good about E3, and that's Metroid and it's Breath of the Wild. Like, if I get one of two of those or both, I'm going to feel okay. Everything else I'm, like, scared of. Like, I don't
know.
And, like, somebody on the Facebook page said something about Starfield. Don't show me Starfield because it's not near ready. I don't care.
Give that one just a second. We're going to talk about that one here in a second because we're going to see it. I that's one of the things I think we're going to see a big chunk of. I think Bethesda's coming out hard with that thing. We'll talk about that here in just a second. It's Microsoft thing.
Yeah.
You're dead on with Nintendo, though. I think Nintendo is set up to save the show in a lot of ways. That we may be going Monday, and then I think Nintendo. We'll get to it in just a second. Let's cover a couple of the other things. We'll talk about those. So, Yubi, we'll see. Maybe new Splinter Cell. That's something Yubi could do. That would be exciting. And
yeah.
We'll see. Gearbox, we already know, is doing Borderlands stuff. We'll see that. And then Sunday is going to be Microsoft's show. And that one's big because it's now Xbox and Bethesda. They're doing this joint conference. And so all the Bethesda announcements are going to take place there too, which brings in Starfield. There are two things that I think we will absolutely see from Microsoft. I think both with release dates. One is Halo. But Halo's got to happen. It's got to happen soon. You better have that coming like this holiday. And it better look darn good. They have to fix last year.
It can't be. And it's not even it better look darn good. It better be darn good.
Yes.
You can make it pretty all you want, but it better be darn good from start to finish.
Yeah. And then the Bethesda side of things, because they're already teasing it, like in the graphics and teaser little video things for the Microsoft Bethesda show. They have like the Starfield stuff in there. They've been talking about the kind of leak about Starfield being exclusive just recently, all that kind of stuff. They're, I think, going to make Starfield a big thing. I think we'll get a chunk of it. I think we will see gameplay. I don't know, maybe that's a step too far, but apparently it's coming next year. That's the news we're supposed to get that from reputable sources. I don't believe it'll actually launch next year, but I think they're going to give it a release window of holiday 2022. Yeah, we'll see it pushed back, but if they're giving it a release window of holiday 2022, they're going to show it off at least a little bit. They're not going to do just a little graphic thing again. I think we're going to have a better idea of what that game is.
And I'm fine if they show it off, but don't lie to me and tell me it's going to be out in 2022, because it's not. It's just not. And
that's every single release date you hear from E3, have Jamie's voice in your head, like right there saying, it's not coming then. Because every single one of these release dates is going to end up being pushed back. We've seen that a billion times. That's what happens in the game industry. Yeah. So add 6 months to whatever release date the publisher tells you, and then you might be close. So Starfield, I agree. We're probably not going to see it next year, but they're going to say it's coming next year. And I think that's my prediction, at least. So we'll see what happens there. I'm interested to see what else they show. Microsoft honestly has a ton of publishers or a ton of developers under their wing now, you know? And so there could be some really, really killer stuff that shows up at the Microsoft conference. And because Sony's not doing one, if there is a CD Projekt Red wants to do a little Witcher 4 teaser, which I don't know would be genius or terrible, but could happen, it would be during the Microsoft show. If Rockstar wants to do a Grand Theft Auto 6 announcement thing, that would be during the Microsoft show. You know, like, there's a potential of something really massive happening during that Microsoft show. That's third party, that's going to be everywhere, but happening during the Microsoft show because Microsoft is the outlet that's having the press conference that they can make a big deal
about. Can we talk about massive surprises real quick? Because I have one that I feel like has the possibility of happening. And you're bringing up Microsoft and all the people that they have under their wing. One of those people is Obsidian, and I would not be shocked to see new Fallout. I understand Outer Worlds is cool and all that. I love Outer Worlds. I'm still playing Outer Worlds. It's great, but it ain't Fallout. And it's time for a new Fallout. And because now Microsoft owns all that, they can do that. If you want to steal a show, the way you do it is with new Fallout.
Yeah. I think that's a possibility, too. And having Obsidian and Bethesda together there, there's tons of potential. We'll see. I Microsoft is the press conference I'm most curious about because it has the potential to be the most surprising. I honestly don't think Nintendo will be that surprising. We'll talk more about Nintendo in just a little bit, but I'm actually anticipating Zelda and Metroid. I would be shocked more if we don't see those games from Nintendo. So that's Microsoft and Bethesda. Sunday will also give us Square Enix. Couple of things that you can expect to see from Square Enix. Maybe expect to see. I don't know if we're going to see more Final Fantasy 16. We got that last summer with the big PlayStation 5 event. We'll see if they do more of that. I would like to see that. My hope, really, if we're talking Final Fantasy, I want to see Final Fantasy VII Remake the next chapter. What are you doing next with that game? And they just put out Intergrade, and so you either capitalize on the fact that that just came out and give us a little teaser of VII Remake Part 2, whatever they're going to call it, or they just don't talk about it at all, and I would rather hear about it. Final Fantasy 16, I'm into, but I'm much more interested in playing more Final Fantasy 7 Remake.
That's so right.
If you're giving us Final Fantasy 7, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
There's also some rumors about maybe 3D re-releases of some of the earlier Final Fantasy games, 3, 4, 5, 6, those that kind of era of games we'll see. One that's interesting that apparently we're definitely going to see is Square is working on a Guardians of the Galaxy game. And that's, yeah. I don't know.
Like, let's be honest, okay? The reason I feel that way is because the only shot that has to be good is if they have those actors doing all the voices. That's it.
Yeah.
Like the game, it doesn't matter. A Guardians of the Galaxy game is not going to be good gameplay wise unless it's done Telltale style.
Would be cool.
I think you could do a Telltale style and get away with it. Otherwise, gameplay's going to suck. And the only way that you can resurrect that is with the entire movie cast coming in and doing what they do.
We'll see what happens there. But apparently it's not going to be a service game. That's the one thing I've heard about it, is it's not going to be like the Avengers service game. It's going to be something different. I don't know what, but we're likely to see that. And there's a chunk of other things we can see from Square Enix, and they're always kind of weird with, you know, some random JRPG stuff. One question, I'm sorry to back up just a second, but I heard somebody else talking about this on Bethesda. Do we see Deathloop or Tokyo, whatever, I don't remember what the game is, but both of those are timed exclusives on PlayStation, and big games that are coming out from Bethesda that were already in the works before the Microsoft acquisition or whatever. It would be really Deathloop's a big deal. Like, that's a big game that's coming out relatively soon. It would be kind of surprising if they didn't mention it, right?
So
Do we see a PlayStation exclusive game featured during the Microsoft press conference?
I think it's going to happen because I did not tell you. I've been meaning to tell you this for about 3 weeks, but I got an email from our buddy Justin the Web Guy and he basically sent us an email, and he's talking about the fact that he's been kind of playing Deathloop and wanted to know what we thought about it. And I told him that we hadn't gotten to it yet. I think that game specifically has a lot more runway. Like, it's out there, people are playing it, but it hasn't gotten a lot of people looking at it going, wow, this is cool.
Deathloop?
Yeah.
It's not out there yet.
I think it's out, isn't it out?
No, it doesn't. It's later this year. They pushed it back.
Am I thinking?
Is there like a early access version of it or something floating around?
Am I thinking about another title? I'm thinking about the one.
It might be.
That's the shooter with the after it's timed and. After so long, the guy resets and he has to run it again. Yeah. It's that game, right? I thought that was already out, but it's not out yet.
Not out yet, nope.
Okay, so
I just looked it up. September 14th is the release date on that
He emailed us asking what we thought about it. I thought he was playing it, but I think he just wanted to know what we thought about it. I think that's going to be a big deal.
I do, too. It's arcane. Really, it's very Dishonored feeling, and I love Dishonored, and so the gameplay mechanic sounds interesting.
It's stylistic.
Yes. Yeah. There's just so much about it that looks super cool. It comes out in September. You gotta talk about it, right? Like, you got to. it's a PlayStation exclusive, I think, for a year. Like, it's not like it's coming out on September on PlayStation and then the next week on Xbox or whatever. At least that was the original agreement. I don't know. Maybe they're going to change the agreement back out something. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But that's a fascinating one to me, just of the current state of the game industry. Do we get somebody from Sony on stage, like, talking about it at the Microsoft press conference? Like, there's just so many potential things that could happen there.
Can we be honest that I opened the show talking about how COVID has changed things and how different everything is? And a lot of this that you're talking about the weird surprises that we may have to do with that. I mean, because all these guys are working together more now than they ever have, so I'm not going to be shocked at anything. The only thing I don't want to see, really, as far as the personality, I don't want to see Keanu Reeves on a stage anywhere during E3. I don't want to see that. Other than that, like, I'm cool. But yeah, I'm not gonna be shocked. I would not be, and this is how crazy it's getting. I would not be shocked to see Miyamoto on a Microsoft stage. It's that kind of a thing, you know. So
for sure, yeah, absolutely. So, let me think. I was going to mention a couple other things in there with, but I don't know. We'll get to it. It's obviously, we're going to have tons to talk about over the next week or so. Monday's pretty dry. There's not a lot happening Monday. Capcom's doing something. Take-Two's doing something. So we'll see a few things here or there. At some point, there is one more Marvel game I'll mention. 2K has talked about, I don't know where this will show up, if it'll show up during this week. But apparently 2K is working on a Marvel XCOM style game.
Ooh.
Right? Like, that has me really interested. That could be really, really fun. And so that will show up at some point. I don't know when or where. But that is really, really exciting.
Yeah, and I think... And Jeff kind of showed this off with his kickoff thing. I think we're going to see a lot of tie-ins with a lot of different companies. I think we're going to see a lot of Disney Plus. I think we're going to see a lot of the Marvel stuff like you're talking about. I think we're going to hear about new shows on Disney. I think it's all going to be tied in like it never has before. I know that Loki is already showing up some places that I'm seeing an ad for Loki and I'm going, okay, that's kind of weird to have that there. But that's where we are at this point. So I think the thing that I'm thinking right now is that whatever happens, I'm not going to be surprised.
I am jaded to that point, and I'm really excited to be surprised about stuff as well. You know, to like geek out about crazy stuff that happens, because I think there's going to be some crazy stuff that happens. In part because it's not just the fanfare of E3 past. You got to do something crazy, because that's what it's going to take to make it a big deal. So, all that said, we'll wrap up with Tuesday. I mentioned Bandai Namco. That could be interesting for Elden Ring. But obviously, the other big one Tuesday is Nintendo. Nintendo always has that Tuesday slot, that kind of end of E3. Really, in the past, that's been the beginning of E3 proper. But this year, really, the end of E3, because there's not the floor show side of E3. Nintendo has said they're doing a Software Direct, which has given a sense to a lot of people they won't announce the Switch Pro there. Everybody knows the Switch Pro is happening, so it's a matter of if not when they're going to announce it, but apparently not during the Direct. But they're focusing on software. And so the two big titles we've already talked about, I think everybody's expecting, is Zelda, Breath of the Wild 2. You got to imagine it's going to have a big presence. We'll know maybe release date, maybe some gameplay, you know, but it's hard to imagine we don't see a chunk of that. I think there's a really, really good shot that we also see something else Zelda, another remake. a la Link's Awakening. I think there's a good chance that they're doing something in that world. We know Skyward Sword is coming. I think maybe Twilight Princess gets added onto that as well. Zelda's going to have a big presence. I would be very, very shocked if it's not very Zelda heavy. And it is just time for Metroid, right? Like, yes. Metroid Prime 4 exists. We know that. And so maybe we see Metroid Prime 4. Maybe that's in development limbo and we see something else Metroid. But it's just been too long. Like, there just has to be Metroid, preferably Metroid Prime 4, but really whatever at this point. I don't care. But there's got to be something Metroid there. And I'd be pretty surprised if there's not something Metroid. But Metroid Prime 4 seems like the obvious option.
They got to do that. And because it's been such a long time and we have new hardware, like, I can't imagine what that's going to look like on a Switch, let alone a Switch Pro. I think that's going to be an amazing game to play with on a Switch and maybe even a Switch Pro. It's going to look really great. What I'm wondering is if the Switch Pro does come out and it's 4K, because you gotta imagine if you're gonna do a Switch Pro, you're gonna have the 4K in there, how that changes the way that something like Metroid Prime is showcased. Because can you imagine something like a Metroid in 4K? I mean, yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, be prepared for that. That if they don't announce the Switch Pro by Tuesday, which they may, but if they don't, the things we're going to see from Nintendo are going to look better than they're going to run on the current Switch.
Yeah.
Because, again, we know it exists. Obviously, they're going to showcase the prettiest version of what they're working on. And so they're going to show off very, very high-quality Breath of the Wild 2 or Metroid or whatever. Maybe even with like a little 4K badge down in the corner, obviously with a console right now that doesn't do 4K, but that's coming. And so one thing to maybe have a grain of salt with anything you see from Nintendo is that probably the prettiest stuff isn't going to run on the hardware you have right now and may not run on any hardware they have currently announced the way that they're showing it. I don't think they're going to make anything that's going to lock you out. It's not going to be a new console cycle, but it's not going to be as pretty on the current Switch as it will be on Switch Pro or whatever they call it. So.
The interesting thing for us, and we haven't talked about this, you hinted at it last show, but we're going to be doing all of this for the first time ever on a 4K screen in my living room.
Yes.
And so that's going to be different for us also. To actually see this stuff in 4K,
yes,
and
super excited.
It's gonna be interesting because I think we're gonna walk out of E3 not saying, "Hey, we need to go find a second console." I think we're gonna be saying, "Okay, hey, we need to go buy two screens."
Because we're gonna be watching this and we're gonna be playing Ratchet and Clank on 4K, which is apparently just a visual feast is what I've read at this point. And so I think that'll be the first time we feel like really next gen, you know. Yeah. Like, I think that's going to be the thing that like you said, is going to tell us that okay, it's time. We got to make this leap. So
yep.
Yeah, that's what E3 looks like. Obviously, let me mention just a couple other really, really brief things. Nothing Sony-centric in there. We're going to see Sony. We're going to see PlayStation 5 stuff, obviously. That's going to be a part of it. I think Square Enix is going to probably be pretty heavy on Sony stuff and a few other places. But Sony itself is not participating. I think we'll probably get a state of play in the next couple of weeks that'll have their own big announcements that they're excited about and that kind of stuff. However, they just did a state of play. I want to make sure I mention this because we haven't done a show since they put this out and it's so good. They did a state of play all about Horizon, the Ooh. New Horizon, and showed gameplay and just it's gorgeous. It looks like a blast.
I did not watch that, so I gotta go find that.
Yeah, go find that. Because it's amazing. It's phenomenal. And so that's happening. Sony's putting out stuff around E3 without being at E3. And so, and also potentially doing a PC version of Uncharted 4, which is, that's a big deal. Like, yeah. Obviously, we've seen Horizon, we've saw Days Gone. But Naughty Dog coming to PC is a different level of stuff happening there.
That's you know what? That's a $60 purchase out the door right there.
Yeah.
I made a comment on the Facebook page that there's no need to buy games at this point because there's free games everywhere. If you haven't paid attention, Control is free this week on the Epic Games Store, which I paid $20 for it. I was glad to pay $20 for it because those guys deserve some money. But it's free on the Epic Store. There's all kinds of other stuff coming.
Battlefield is two on Prime Games, I think. One of the service, And so you get, the new Battlefield's a whole other thing. It'll pop back up somewhere
It's going to be...
free games everywhere.
Yeah. And that's... when Naughty Dog starts coming out on PC, that's an immediate buy. I won't even hesitate on those. I can't even get my brain around it. One thing I will ask you because I didn't see it: did they give a release date for New Horizon?
I don't think so. Let me check that. I don't remember. I feel like I would have remembered that if they did. But I'll Google really quick.
Yeah. It's cause that's, I am at the point in Horizon where we quit essentially.
And so I'm
going to finish that one before the new one comes out. I've talked about it before. It's so good, and I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. Currently, it still says this year, which it's not. We'll see Horizon next year.
Yeah. That's really cool. I dig that a lot. I'm going to go watch that as soon as we get done here, because I didn't know that happened. So.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. So that's out there. Try to think. God of War got pushed to 2022. No surprise there. we'll maybe see that in 2022. Far Cry 6 does have a release date. They did announce that in their big video thing. October 7th is the release date on Far Cry 6. And like I said, we'll see tons of it coming at the UB show tomorrow. So. And one last thing I'll mention here, just in kind of random news floating around. There's a rumor that Valve is making a Switch-like portable gaming PC.
Of course they are.
Fascinating and weird, and things going to cost $1,000.
Of course they are. Yes, they are. That's so very Valve.
That's so very Valve.
Since we're talking about Valve real quick, another surprise that wouldn't surprise me at all, Portal.
Yeah. I'd love to see some Portal. I didn't mention PC Game Show's happening. I just skipped right over that one. We love PC Game Show. I think that's on Sunday, maybe? Let me verify that. Don't want to overlook PC Game Show. Sunday is PC Gaming Show. What in the world would happen if Valve came out at the PC Gaming Show and announced Portal 3?
Or Half-Life 3.
Or Half-Life 3,
Either
one.
they steal the show, that's it, game over, everybody else can go home.
100%.
And this is the year to do that.
For sure.
Especially after the bomb that was Cyberpunk, they're the ones that have I don't know what the word is, have hyped up their titles, and they've not failed yet, and so this would be the year, since Cyberpunk was what it was, that Valve could come out and be like, yeah, this is how you actually do a really big title. I would love to see that. It would totally seal E3. And I think Duff is probably out there screaming at the screen because he and I told you a year ago that Half-Life 3 is coming, and the end of Alex assures that it's just when, And so I would not be surprised to see that this year.
Yeah, I really would. That would be cool. Would be fantastic. So, all that said, that's the start of Ether. Like we're here. It's happening, man.
We are here. That's what we
got to look forward to for the next week.
We are here, and there's going to be a lot of video. We did a lot of video last year. There's going to be more video this year. Probably more video than either one of us want to do.
Probably.
And so that's going to be very interesting. If you haven't been over to the Patreon page and subscribed over there, we're not asking that much money, and you're going to get a whole lot of content.
For sure.
So if you're not a Patreon member, definitely go over there and give us your money, because we'll make it worth your while, at least for the next month or so. Yeah. And we're going to have a good time. We think you will, too. Of course, this show is all about participation. We say this every year during E3, that just because we don't play segments and we're hyper-focused on E3 does not mean that we're not paying attention to the email. We want to hear from you guys. We're watching the email. We're watching the Facebook page. We're watching the Twitter. We're watching all of that. Because especially this time of year, this show is about you guys, and we want to know that you're there, and we want to know that you're paying attention. So please come and participate with us wherever you would like to do that. And we promise the video content that we put out this week will look better than this.
Yes.
I've been watching this for the last hour, and it's driving me insane. I have to fix it. We are going to fix it while you're here.
If you want to see pixelated Jamie and John Lennon glasses, go by Patreon.
Hey,
a lot of that.
You're not perfect either, bro. We'll see. And you're on a much beefier laptop than me at this point. So I don't think it's us.
I
think
the beefy laptop will be the production laptop for the week.
Yes. So all that said, we are done for now. You are listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2021. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And we are the idiots explaining entertainment, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.